deeply affected by the things that have affected our city and affected our nation. Deeply affected. I'm not sure what your experience of this week has been, but I found myself going to God's word, and I found myself in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and there's this powerful passage of scripture where David comes back to his kind of place where his families and his people are, and he's been away with his men, and they've been fighting, they've been at war, and they come back to devastation. The women and children have been carried off. There is nothing of their stuff left. There is just pure desolation. And David comes back, and his men, his mighty men that have just been fighting with him, start to fight with him. And they turn around and they say, "We're going to take you out." And David finds himself turning to God. And it says, "And David fortified himself in the Lord." David fortified himself in the Lord. That was his first response, to fortify himself in the Lord. And then it says, "And he inquired of the Lord." That came second. Inquired of the Lord for wisdom. This week has been a week of fortifying myself in the Lord. I'm not sure what it's meant for you. We're going to get there in a moment. But I believe there's a beautiful leadership of God that we can look to in these moments, that is strong and that can fortify. And my hope is that we would experience something of that today. But as the people of God, I do believe that there are dangers for us. This morning, as we remain in this place of looking to God, I want to invite us to lament as a congregation. Now I'm going to explain exactly what that is and what that looks like. Because in a week when there has been so much pain and anger and sadness, I think there are a few dangers that we as the church and as Christians need to be aware of. Firstly, I think there's a danger that we don't jump too quickly to wanting to offer our own hearts and others cheap hope. It's human nature not to want to see or deal with or kind of focus in on bad stuff. We prefer when we're able to focus on the positives and keep our chins up, right? That's our human nature. This week already, it was like Monday to Friday looked like this, and we had some family flying from overseas, and yesterday was a glorious day. And I was busy preparing, but my family was sending me photos from the different beaches that they were at. And I found already my heart's inclination to just want to be on a beach in Cape Town somewhere, lapping up the sun. But that's not what we see in Scripture. We don't see, even though it's our natural tendency, this rushing on from pain and difficulty, rushing into just chins up, keep positive. This is not what we see in Scripture. And that leads to a second danger, a danger that we as the people of God end up belittling these massive issues that affect so many people every day in our nation, as foreign nationals, every day in our city, as women and children. And yes, we know that this is not the first week that these things have happened in our city, but this week it has come close for many. And it has been the necessary spark that has lit the fires of awareness and action in our city, which is a good thing. A good thing. It's important that we allow ourselves to feel the weight of these matters and understand the evil that is around us. But that then leads to a third potential danger for us as the people of God. And that is this, that as the people of God, we can't just be mirrors of our culture in these times. We have to be the people of God led by the Word of God. And that looks different. We can't just reflect back to each other all the things that we are hearing and seeing and reading on the media and social media. As the people of God, we have to do what the people of God have always done. And that is, firstly, we must bring our pain to God in lament. And secondly, we must own our personal sinfulness and shortcomings in repentance. And then ultimately, we must push in to the reassuring comfort of our Father. We must pray. Sorry, I skipped one. We must bring our prayers and petitions before our God. And then ultimately, we must push into the reassuring comforts of our Father who gives us peace despite the circumstances. Lament, repent, pray, and then come to God for assurance. This is what the people of God have always done. So that's what we're going to do today. Your normal announcements will be in your email on Tuesday. Those who've come prepared to give an offering, you can come prepared next week. High schoolers are going to stay with us this morning. We're going to push all of this aside so that we can focus on coming to our Heavenly Father together as sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, the people of God, to lament, to repent, to pray, and to receive His assurance for our souls. Heavenly Father, we come to You now. We settle, we still our roving hearts, our fearful hearts, our confused minds. We still them, God. We still all the other voices so that we may hear Your voice, that we may understand Your leadership, that we may see things as You see things. God, come. Meet with Your people, we pray. We long to know Your presence here with us. Now, I recognize that lament is not something that we are well-versed in as a community, but the scriptures are full of psalms of lament, songs of lament, even the whole book dedicated to the lament of the people of God called Lamentations. 150 psalms, half of them are psalms of lament. Some corporate, some personal. A lament is an expression of grief and sorrow and complaint even to God. I personally found this explanation of lament very helpful. It says this: the function of a lament is to provide a structure for crisis, hurt, grief, or despair to move a worshiper from hurt to joy, from darkness to light, from desperation to hope. This movement from hurt to joy is not a psychological or liturgical experience only, although it includes those. It is not a physical deliverance from the crisis, although that is often the anticipation. The movement out of the depths from hurt to joy is a profoundly spiritual one. And the theological significance of lament is that it expresses a trust in God in the absence of any current evidence that He is active in the world. Listen to that again. The theological significance of a lament is that it expresses a trust in God in the absence of any current evidence that He is active in the world. Lament is an important part of the people of God, of a healthy prayer life, of a healthy, maturing spiritual life, and it should be something that we become more accustomed to as the gathered people of God. It helps us to articulate our frustrations, our pain, our anger, and to articulate those towards God. It reminds us to call on God rather than our own wisdom and strength in these times of trouble. It keeps us humble, real, honest, relatable. It helps us with processing individual and collective pain. It helps us in leading us to creativity and expression and writing and singing and drawing and poetry. Personally, I found that throughout this week, every single morning I was waking up just feeling so affected by these things, so burdened by these things. And every single morning my natural feeling was, I want more time with God. I want more time in His Word. I need more time to process. I just had to write down my thoughts, pray, process with God. This naturally happens when you feel things weighing in. I woke up Saturday morning and I just found myself in minutes writing this poem to our men that I'll share with you later. But it just seemed to, in minutes, splash out and onto the pages all these feelings that I was kind of carrying inside. And times of lament and seasons of lament within the people of God are seasons for those with gifts of creativity to find expression. Let's not let social media set the kind of creative expression cues for us as the people of God. Creatives, you know who you are. Lament and seasons of lament are times to express. But I wonder for every single one of us this morning, what would be the words of your lament if you were to write them now? What would be the words of your lament? Are you comfortable with crying out and complaining to God like David did? Man, David uses some strong words with God. If you're not comfortable with that, maybe you need to ask, why am I not comfortable as David was? Maybe it comes from believing that complaining doesn't change anything. Maybe it comes from believing that dwelling in the negative just reinforces the negative. Or maybe, like me, you wonder if complaining shows a lack of trust in God. But every single one of those three things are not biblically accurate or right. The Bible creates room for lament. It's not always pretty, but it is very healthy and important. So how? How do we lament well as the people of God? Firstly, it's good to recognize that different cultures lament differently, and different personality types lament uniquely. Being quiet or loud, being busy or staying still, there's no one approach to lament that is more right. I heard this week of a lady who tragically lost her husband. She had some children. She lost her husband, and at his memorial, she led everyone that was there in a lament of shouting at God. Shouting at God. And a friend who was there said it was a most carnal, guttural roar of anger expressed towards God. But I don't believe it was an action that God was insecure about. It was an honest and appropriate lament of her pain towards her God with her people. Sometimes we need to cry in the Father's arms, and sometimes we need to beat on His chest. He is not insecure. And I'm not sure about you, but I am encouraged that God is a God who allows us to complain and to be children before Him. To be children before Him. God hears. God holds. God identifies with our pain and with our sadness. And He stands with us in these seasons and in these moments. And today we're going to participate in lamenting together in a few ways. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. Before we do, I want to ask you to take that heart. It's on your, just the heart. And this heart, hold it in your hands. Hold it in front of you. This heart represents the love that God calls us to have for all humankind. I want you to hold this heart, pure, beautiful. I want you to hold it in your hands. And I know that for many people, this has been a week where you've likely been hard hit by all the realities and the statistics and the stories. But just to make sure that we know what we're speaking about here today, I want to read just four stats out of our context in South Africa as you hold this heart in your hands. In South Africa today, the national rape statistics are 5 times higher than the global average. In South Africa today, 41% of the people raped in our country are under the age of 18. This morning I spent an hour sitting in the middle of the common where 17 years ago one of my youth home group young ladies was raped on that common 17 years ago. And I cried out to God, "No more, Lord. No more." 41% of the people raped in our country are under the age of 18. And it's estimated that only 1 in 9 rape cases are actually even reported. And then listen to this. Shockingly, devastatingly, only 4% of reported cases of rape result in prosecution in our country. 4% of the 1 in 9 that actually get reported. This should move us. This should cause us to lament before our God. We live in this context. These are statistics of our people. This is devastating. This should not be so. This should cause a holy discontent to rise up within us. I want you to take that paper and I want you to scrunch it up. Don't tear it, just scrunch it up. I want you to hold it in your hand. This scrunched up heart now represents the hurting hearts of our nation. The hurting hearts of our women and children. Our neighboring friends who have become now our neighbors, welcomed into our nation, and they're not so welcome. The hurting hearts of our nation. And I want to be sensitive that even though for me this is a metaphoric picture of a heart that I'm holding in my hands, for some of you in this room today, you are holding your own heart in your hands because you have been the victims of violence. Some people have taken from you what is not theirs to take. Some people have said some things that are not theirs to say. You may have a past that is marked by injustice and evil and sin that was done towards you. This is not a distant community. This is not a statistic for you. This is your own heart that you're holding in your hands. And we hold your heart today with you. We hold your heart. And we stand with you today. For many of the ladies with us here today, these statistics that I have just read and others like them have driven fear right into the depth of your being because this has come so close this week. And we hold your heart in our hands. And I want us to hold that scrunched up heart in our hands as we read a lament. I've asked Sue. Sue's written a lament. For those of you who don't know Sue, Sue's a counselor. She's a leader in our community. And every single day, Sue deals with the brokenness and the pain and the fear that many people in this community even grapple with. And Sue's going to read a lament. Let's close our eyes and let's hold these hearts in our hands together.
The lament I'm going to read has five verses, and in between each verse is a refrain. And the refrain is, Lord, see our pain, Lord, hear our cries. And I'd like everybody to join with me in that refrain. So shall we start with that all together? Lord, see our pain, Lord, hear our cries. Lord, we bring our lament to you, and this is how we feel. For some of us, the tears seep out of every cell in our bodies. Our hearts cry out in pain and anguish. For some of us, our hearts are numb. Past pain, constant pain has just been too much. It is just too much. For some of us, our hearts are hard. Anger and fear has hardened us. So let's say together, Lord, see our pain. Lord, hear our cries. This is what we have seen. Cruel, senseless, and violent loss of life. Repeated fear invades the safety of our homes and our neighborhoods. Babies tragically ended, their lives were ended before their dawn. Pregnant women, the double loss of life, a future never lived. Children living in the cycle of constant confusion. And lives ended too soon, dreams never realized. Women whose last moments were ones of terror. Loved ones in anguish and despair at their loss. So let's say together, Lord, see our pain, Lord, hear our cries. And this is what we have imagined, screams that were never heard. Never responded to. Unstoppable horror. Untold despair in those final moments of life. And voices that were silenced forever. Let's say together, Lord, see our pain. Lord, hear our cries. And this is how we have responded, by constantly checking for safety. Looking over our shoulders on a twilight evening. Avoiding the darkness. Holding our loved ones close. Helplessness. More checking, uncertainty and fear. Consumed by anger. Wondering who is next. Let's say together, Lord, see our pain. Lord, hear our cries. But Jesus, when you were on earth, you were known as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know our pain. And on the cross, as you died for us, you cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know our pain. You hear our cries. Let's say together, Lord, see our pain. Lord, hear our cries.
God, today we hold these hearts before you. God, today we place these hearts in your hands. God, you hear the cries of our hearts. You hear the lament of your people. And today we place the broken hearts of our city, the broken hearts of our nation, the broken hearts in this room, God, we place them in your hands. Won't you hear our cries? I want to encourage you to just open that up again. Try not to tear it. Try and smooth it out if you can. What's obvious about this piece of paper is that it'll never quite be the same again. There's a reality that as we come to God, we don't come trying to iron out the paper. We come recognizing the crinkles. What I want to encourage you to do is I want to encourage you to take the pencil that you were given, and I want you to write either your lament or your cry, your prayer, your request of the Lord on this heart. I'm going to give you a few moments to do that. You're going to take these home with you, and I'm hoping that they can find a place of prominence in your home or in your office. But if there's a cry that you find most naturally coming out of your heart, won't you put that on this heart? Maybe if you, recognizing you want to be a little more sensitive, you might want to just fold it in half and write the more sensitive things on the inside and maybe some of the others on the outside. Because in a moment, after we've done this, and I'm going to give you some time, we're going to stand together as a people and we're going to pray, and maybe you'd want to share some of those things with people. So just be sensitive to that. But I'm going to give you extended time now to write your lament on this heart. Your heart communicating with God's heart, those things that are your most natural cry. Why don't you write those down on that heart you've been given? I know many people are still writing, and I want to encourage you to maybe take this home and feel free to continue just pouring out your prayers and laments, your requests, your asks, your feelings to God. It's a corporate moment of doing so, but many laments come from the personal space. I want to encourage you to continue that. But what we're going to do now is we're going to stand up, we're going to move into the spaces around, and I want to ask us to get into little groups of no more than four or five, and we're going to be a people of prayer. We're going to be a people of prayer where we bring these laments and these requests and these prayers before our God. I recognize that there may be some people that actually right now you're not ready for a small group and to be praying with others, and maybe you just want to sit right where you are. That's okay, but make sure that that's coming from not coming from a place of our individualistic tendencies. It's coming more from a place of needing to allow God to minister to you. That's fine. And if you don't feel comfortable praying in a group, that's fine too. Just say amen to other people's prayers. Maybe just share some of the things that you want to hold up before God. That's fine. But we as a people want to be known as a people of prayer. This is a discipline that we have to exercise, as being able to articulate and verbalize what we are asking of our God. I feel like this is a weak muscle for us as a community. And this is a unique opportunity. Raise the roof here. Hundreds of little groups. just getting together and being able to pray together. So will you do that now? Let's move, let's stand up, let's move into those groups. Maybe just where you're sitting, you want to move towards a few people. And we're going to have an extended time now. Let's have an extended time of praying and bringing these prayers before our God. Let's do that together.